Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing expository study of the Epistle of Paul to the Church in Galatia. In this study, we will look at the life of Saul of Tarsus, who became known as the Apostle Paul, and we will see how that in spite of the sin and wicked abuse of Christians by Saul, God saved him and not only gave him a new name, but also used him in ministry like no other Christian in church history. This message is an encouragement, especially to those of us who were wicked in our lives before being saved. We can see that if God used Paul, he can use me and you and any sinner who will come to him on his terms. So now let's begin our study of Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, titled, God Uses the Chief of Sinners. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 through 17 and see that God uses the chief of sinners. So let's go ahead and read verses 13 through 17. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Amen. That's the text. Now, if you read that closely, you see a hint of the fact that Paul was one bad dude. Did you know that? In verse 13, he says, for you've heard of my conversation. It's talking about his lifestyle, his life pattern in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. This is Paul. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's some strong terms there. Now, what's it mean when you waste somebody? That's actually pretty contemporary language there, folks.
Yes, it
is. And that's what it means. If you waste somebody, that's probably means you're in the mob. And that's worse than what most of us have done. Now, I say that because while I hope there's no one in this room like this, there are an awful lot of people who can't get over themselves. They think they're just so bad. They've made too many mistakes. They've failed God too many times. And that's just not the case. You're talking about a man here who wasted Christians. And yes, he had them killed. He had them imprisoned and tortured. He would have them tortured to the point that they would blaspheme. He was a bad dude. It's serious business. And if Paul had lived in the Old West, that would have been him there. There you go. Martha, have you ever watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Yeah.
That would have been an image of the Apostle Paul if he had lived in that time. That was pretty much who he was. He was bad. Now, I always tell her by this, we don't want to glorify a bad character. Have you ever seen people who, that's their ministry, is to go around bragging about how bad they were before they got saved? And it can be done right, but I've seen it done very wrong. And it's almost like everybody's like, ooh, he was a real good sinner. You know? You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
And that's, but at the same time, we want sinners to know that Jesus died for them. We don't want people to think. And if people who knew me in the 80s, when I became a Christian and then went into the ministry, they were like, are you serious? But then people who met me from especially the early to mid-90s on, if they didn't know me in the 80s, they thought I was raised in a monastery. You know, like I'd always been, you know, a good Christian guy. And all. I had people ask me that. You know, you just live this way because that's the way your parents raised you. I said, well, I'll give them credit. My parents tried. But there was a few bad years there. And so when I haven't gone around, and now back in the early 90s, maybe about 1991-ish, there were a couple of times where people talked me into giving my testimony. And I put it in quotes because they were like egging me on to get into the really bad stuff. And it's like they wanted 20 minutes of gore and me telling all the worst I could tell and then talk about how Jesus saved me. And there's two problems. On the one side, there are a lot of people who need saved because they're sinners, but they didn't really get into, you know, really, really bad stuff. They're just plain old sinners. But at the same time, you still want those people who do get into this really dark stuff to understand that they can be saved. And when I first started out in the ministry, I was surprised at how many times, especially going like door to door and just knocking on the door and sharing the gospel, how many people would look me in the eye and just say, if there is a God, if Jesus is real, I don't think he would save me anyway. Why? Because they were either involved or had been involved in really, really bad stuff. Well, folks, sin sends you to hell. Sin. You don't define it. It's not like if your sin meets this level of darkness, then you're going to hell. That's not how it works. But that's how people have it in their minds. And so when you talk to people, you don't want to sound like God is flippant about sin, but at the same time, you need to be able to express the fact that God came to save sinners. That's why he came. The only person God cannot save is the one who will not recognize his lost condition. And that's why this all positive message today is so devastating. If all you look at people and say, you're just so wonderful, God's got to have you. That's not, the message is you're a sinner, you are lost, you need to be saved. And if you don't get a person, this is just some street language level of putting it, but if you don't get a person lost, you're not going to get them saved. Amen. You have to confront a person with their need. And that's not being done today. Look in Luke. I want to look at this. Luke chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 18. Yeah. Luke 18, beginning of verse 10. And we're going to look at the two kinds of people, the saved and the lost. And you're going to see here the difference. Luke 18, beginning in verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Okay, well, they're both saved, right? Amen, they're both saved. They're praying. They go into the temple to pray. Does that mean they're saved?
No.
No, it does not. Read verse 11 with me. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. You see that? Now, the world would think, this man's a good man, I'm sure he's going to heaven. Every person like that who dies gets a funeral preached that puts them in heaven. Every time. But did you notice it says who he's praying to? He prayed thus with himself. He said God, but he didn't actually talk to God. He doesn't actually have a personal walk or relationship with God. He doesn't actually know God. I am just being straight up honest with you today. That's what most of the churches around us are doing today.
This is by their own confession. They have interviewed the preachers, so-called, the pastors of these mainline denominations. And the majority, now listen, this, I'm telling you the truth right now. The majority admit that they are atheists. Why are they pastoring a church? Easy money.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy is, a practical atheist, even though he professed to be a theist. Now look what happens with the other guy in verse 13. Read verse 13 with me. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that's like night and day. The difference between the two kinds of people in this world. Read verse 14. I tell you, this is Jesus talking, by the way. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And there's the difference. Those are the two kinds of people. If you don't approach God humbly and on His terms, you can never be saved. What was the? Look at verse 13. After it describes this guy and says he can't even get himself to look up to heaven. Look what it says. God, this is His words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The one guy approaches God and says, I'm not a bad guy, I'm a good guy. I go to temple, I give money, I'm doing all these good things for, and I'm an upstanding citizen. And when I walk in places, they give me a good place to sit because I'm the kind of guy they want around. The other guy approaches God and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That guy can be saved because he knows he's lost. The first guy can't be saved because he doesn't know he's lost. You say, well, he can be saved, not until he understands he's lost.
Amen.
He's in a state of no man's land spiritually until he's humbled. That's why some of you would probably cringe when you hear, if you were to hear me pray. Because I don't pray, and let me tell you, I'm including you and your loved ones that you either ask for prayer or if you yourself have an issue or whatever. When I pray this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, even though it's going to make you cringe. Lord, if you have to totally destroy their lives and bring them to their knees, thy will be done. Whatever it takes to humble that person, whatever, short of death, because once they die, it's appointed unto man, wants to die, and then the judgment. No prayers for the dead in this church. Amen?
Amen.
You die, we move on. Amen? But until then, we're going to pray, and some of you are going to be very upset that I'm praying for you if you're not right. Because I'm going to be praying, God, bring you face down into the dirt. Amen. And I am glad that when I was lost, people prayed like that for me.
Amen.
And God did bring me down to my face being in the dirt. And I praise God for it. I'm so thankful for it. Those are the two kinds of people. And that's when you're dealing with somebody, folks, that's all you have to discern. Does this person realize they are lost, number one? Number two, do they actually believe the testimony of Scripture that Jesus Christ is God who came as a man, infinite God, to pay for the sins of finite man? Shed His blood, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, shed His blood and paid for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Was buried and rose again the third day, conquering sin and death. That's your ministry. If you just learn what I just put out there, that's your ministry. Every one of us in this room is called to obey Mark 16:15 and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
We should face that person, and if they understand that they are lost, we are just simply to explain the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's your ministry. But if they don't recognize their condition, if they will not accept the testimony of Scripture, that person cannot be saved. I didn't tell you to give up. You keep praying. But you know good and well at that point what you're dealing with. That person has to come to that realization. And there is no sinner ever to exist that could not be saved. You can look any unsaved man or woman in the eye and tell them that they can be saved. Amen. Now that sounds obvious, but that goes against Calvinism.
Yeah.
The Calvinist cult teaches that when you look at somebody, you may not be looking at an elect. Therefore, they may not be able to be saved because they're not elect. That's Calvinism. The Bible says I can go to any sinner and say, if you will believe, you will be saved.
Amen.
And I don't have to lie to them, because a Calvinist says that they're lying. A Calvinist ought to walk up to every lost person and say, if you are the elect, you will believe what I'm about to share with you. That's what an honest Calvinist will do. But they don't do that because they're not honest. And they get mad at you for trying to make them honest when you talk to them. He said, wait a minute. If that's what you believe, then why don't you go up to these lost people and say, wait a minute, can I have just 30 seconds of your time? I want to find out if you're elect. I'm going to share the gospel, and if you're elect, you're going to believe. If not, then to hell with you. You're not one of the elect. I'd made a great Calvinist. Because I'd been honest about it. I'm telling you, if I believed Calvinism, that's how I would do. I would walk up to people and say, I just need 30 seconds. Just to find out if you're elect. That's it. But they don't do that because they're not honest. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I haven't met an honest Calvinist in my life. I haven't. I've met people who claim to be Calvinists, but when you talk to them, they really don't believe Calvinism. Something in them makes them say they do, but they don't believe it because they won't take a stand for it. If you believe it, you'll stand on it. And so we don't have to be shackled by that heresy. We can go up to any sinner and say, you can be saved. If that sinner will acknowledge his or her need, repent and believe the gospel. Now, when I say repent, I don't mean what these... There's a lot of guys out here saying what it means is you have to repent of your sins and stop sinning in order to be saved. That's not what we mean. That's not what the Bible teaches. If so, we're all going to hell. Amen? I mean, if stopping sinning was required to be saved, we're all damned. Amen. The honest people are saying amen. Amen. I knew I'd get every one of you on that one. If you look me in the eye and say you stop sinning, you just sinned because you're a liar. I'm going to follow you around with my little camera. I'm going to catch you. And I'll say, now look, watch this. Now stop saying that.
Smile, you just
said. Amen. You're on candid camera. Now let's look at some of the great sinners that have been greatly saved. All right, the thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. He stopped sinning because he died. Amen. I mean, he stopped stealing and everything because he died. He didn't have a chance. That's not fair. You ever heard of this guy? You sang his song. This guy was one of the nastiest slave owners in his time. And God got a hold of him. And guess what? He got saved, and then God blessed his slave ministry, and he had the biggest slave operation in Europe. Amen? Amen? He had favor. Amen? No, that isn't what happened. When he got saved, he stopped with the slave thing.
Amen.
Amen. That's what saved people will do. And then he writes a song about the amazing grace that saved his soul. Amen. You ever heard of the Son of Sam? Dave Berkowitz? Serial killer. He's a Bible teacher now.
Amen.
Now, I can't swear by his theology. I don't know. But I know he believes the gospel. He believes Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Now, you know one of the reasons I believe he's saved? Not only because of his profession of faith in the gospel, but he's not trying to get out. He says he deserves to be where he is. You take someone in prison who claims to be saved, if they start saying they're innocent and they should be out when you know good and well they're guilty, there's a problem there. Mm-hmm. But when you got some guy who... Now, I'm not making excuses, but you could be there. I don't care who you are today. You know what he did? I'm not making excuses, but the guy did LSD. Now, not everybody even has to go to LSD. You could just hand yourself over to the devil and eventually you'll be killing people. But then you add LSD to it, anybody in this room could turn into a murderer. There's a lot of people, that's why we did the message on suicide. There's a lot of people who committed suicide and went to heaven. You say, what? Well, a lot of them were on psych meds and weren't even in their right mind when they did it. So be careful judging people by their actions. See, we don't want to cross that line. And this guy, I hope he never gets out of prison, but I can't wait to see him in heaven. Amen. He'll probably be one of the loudest choir members. Because you think about somebody who thinks that, you know, you deserve hell. Serial killer? I don't remember how many you killed. One's too many, but there's a bunch. He'll probably be the loudest praising God for not being in hell. I'm not here of my own. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus alone is worthy. Whew. You want to find out who an unbeliever is, tell them you think the Son of Sin is saved. It makes them angry. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go out online. They mock Christians for believing that this guy here is saved. They call us the only people stupid enough to believe that the Son of Sam is in heaven is born again Christians. Amen. I'm just that stupid.
One thing, Greg, he has turned down every to appear at every parole here.
More evidence is the way he is.
He says he believes.
He hasn't made money off of it. He hasn't sought fame. He's done very few interviews, and he only agreed to do them if they wouldn't edit out his gospel message. And it makes unbelievers angry because unbelievers believe that they're going to heaven because they're good. Now just think this through. These good people think they're going to heaven for being good, and you're saying the Son of Sam's going to heaven? Well, here I am being good, and I'm going to heaven, but you're telling me that evil man is going to heaven? See, that's why they don't like it. That's why they don't like Jesus. That's why good people don't like gospel preaching churches. They want to go somewhere where they're told they're good and that good people go to heaven. Why? Because it's them. They can brag about it. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." What's the next line? "Lest any man should boast." You go to heaven on the work of Jesus Christ and not your own works. And that way, when you get to heaven, you can't get up there and brag about it.
Amen.
But all these good people who don't want to see the wicked get saved, they get angry about it because they want to go to heaven and they think they're going to have a certain level in the lodge based on their works. That's how they think. I've talked to them, man. I'm telling you, that's how they think. They hate forgiveness and the grace of God. These people want to believe that forgiveness comes on the merit system, that you do certain things and that wipes your slate clean. They're also liars, because what they don't admit to you is that you may not see all the nasty, dirty, evil things they do. So you might be fooled into thinking they're good, but God sees everything. He knows their thoughts. He knows all the things they're doing behind closed doors. And so when on judgment day, they will stand at a great white throne and they will be judged according to their works and be damned for it.
Why people say they don't think God sees is beyond me.
They know. The Bible, that's why the fool hath said in his heart there is no God, because everybody knows. And they're going to admit that when they stand before him. Everybody knows. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians 1:18. What I just explained to you actually explains the reason for this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Those who think they are good, they're the ones who despise the message of the cross. Good people killed Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Good, they were the cream of the crop that killed Jesus Christ. Read verse 18 with me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross says you can't save yourself. God took upon flesh and died for you. You must repent of your own self-righteousness, your unbelief, and what you are, which is a sinner, and believe on what Jesus has done, or you will not go to heaven. That is foolishness to the world. That's called the vicarious atonement. That's what Christians call that, the vicarious atonement. They also call it the substitution or the substitutionary atonement. And Ohio State, Harvard, Brown, Yale, by the way, those last three schools were started to train missionaries originally.
Amen.
They now mock the cross. They have chapel, they have their own chapels on campus, and their pastors of those chapels reject this. Their new age, and they believe in the ecumenical gospel of goodness. The major institutions in this country have rejected this message. Our national cathedral was built by people who believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this, just recently, I think it was in the last couple of weeks, they took down all the Christian symbols, all the Christian art, and had a Muslim prayer service in our national cathedral.
Oh, dear.
Folks, I don't preach apocalypse now, but you ought to be ready. Because Ichabod is over this, the doorpost of this country. Ichabod. The glory has departed. And the only reason you and I aren't living on twigs right now and wearing clothes for 10 years and not and having to get, you know, government cheese to get by,
right.
I believe is because of the fact that we still stand by Israel, number one. And number two, there is still a remnant of Bible believers in this country. Once that changes, America will cease. Amen.
Amen.
And it all comes back.
Bible Believers Fellowship is excited to announce our new internet outreach ministry at bbfohioradio.com, where all of our recorded messages will air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and can be heard by anyone on planet Earth with an internet connection. bbfohioradio.com is another free ministry outreach providing nonstop, uninterrupted, commercial-free Bible teaching, where the only ads you'll hear are from Bible Believers Fellowship, and all the teaching is provided without charge from the authorized King James Bible as taught by Pastor Greg Miller, Elder Mike Kaler, and other guest teachers. So visit bbfohioradio.com and share that website address on your own Facebook, Twitter, email, or other internet account as we continue preaching the word until Jesus raptures us out of here.